our service tonight. Let's take a hymn book together, please. Let's sing 590. 590, since Jesus came into my heart. Let's stand tonight as we sing. 590, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought.
What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought.
Saved? Amen. Amen. We're going to have a great time tonight in the house of the Lord. Pastor McDonald's going to come and lead us in prayer.
Wasn't it? It was so
Amen.
Good. John Kirkwood, all his hair fell out. It was that good. It just fell out right before him. And he's back for tonight. I don't know what you're going to lose tonight, brother. I don't know. We're expecting some good things. And just before we go to prayer for the offering, I just want to remind everyone that because Katata is coming up this time of year, we are ordering poinsettias again. If you'd like to order one, we have them like we have in the past. We have like the large size and the small size. The large size is going to be $8. The small size, $6. And if you want to think about it this week, we're going to have inserts in the bulletin for you next week if you'd like to fill one out. A poinsettia on behalf of a loved one, and we'll decorate the place and it'll look great. So just start thinking about that now. And as I said, we'll have the inserts for next week. Brother Jimmy, if you'd pray for tonight's offering.
What's that?
Yeah, pray for it to come back.
Amen.
Good.
That's one of my favorite hymns, and think about what Christ did for us. Brother Lake has been listening to Colton all the way out on the East Coast. He listens to his some of his music on the YouTube channel that Colton has, and I'm thankful that Colton is using his talents for the Lord, and it's impacting across Canada. Others are listening, and that's a wonderful thing. So he asked Colton to play tonight, and so we said that'd be great. So 586, let's sing another hymn tonight. 586, glory to His name, let's stand as we sing, 586.
To go and tell the world
Amen. Well, just before the Lakes come to sing tonight, I want to share with our church family that Jim Wilson's father went home to be with the Lord this afternoon, and he wanted me to, I talked to him about 3 o'clock, and he said, just tell the church thank you for your prayers and your love. And there'll be a funeral service later in the week. Mr. Wilson is being cremated, and then later in the week, Friday or Saturday, they haven't made the arrangements yet. They will be having a funeral service. It'll be at Ferris Funeral Home. So be in prayer for the family tonight. Mrs. Wilson, Madeline Wilson, just said after she was leaving the hospital, she said, I'm going home to cook. And I guess that's her therapy. And she says, I expect all my children there for supper. So they're gathering together tonight. So be in prayer for them in the family home in Walsh. I appreciate that. All right. Tomorrow, the kids got off the plane and they were hoping to see right away the CN Tower. And, of course, the airport's the north end of the city, and the CN Tower wasn't a very nice day. It was snowing a little bit. You couldn't see that far. And so tomorrow we're taking the boys down to see the CN Tower, and they're looking forward to that. And I wanted to get them a little gift that would help them remember their time in Ontario, but also it's going to be a cold day tomorrow. So we got each of the boys Toronto Maple Leafs hats and mitts. Amen. And we got a couple Canadian fans here, and so it was no problem for him to preach right through the Maple Leafs game last night. He didn't mind doing that, but we wanted to be a blessing to you guys, so we got you some hats and mitts for tomorrow. We'll just put them up here for you. And Toronto Maple Leafs, you guys like the Maple Leafs?
No.
All right. Riley does. All right. Amen. Well, we just want to be a blessing. How many of these little guys have been a blessing to you? Amen. Aren't they great? And we love them and appreciate all the Lake family. I've asked them to sing tonight for 25 and 30 minutes. So here's what I want you to do. Take your watches off, stuff them in your purse, hide them somewhere. Don't worry about that. Just undo your top button. Take a deep breath. You'll be okay. And just enjoy. Say amen once in a while. Say hallelujah once in a while. Enjoy the night. Thank you, Lakes, for coming.
Amen. It is good to be here, and we sure love singing the song the Lord gave us to sing. Amen. And appreciate when people will listen. I'm just sorry the pastor didn't hear the message this morning about this being a holy place and bringing that kind of stuff right up here next to the pulpit. If the message is a dud, you know whose fault it is. So, oh, my boys are so easily influenced. Would to God they had good influences. Amen. All right, Mom, let's sing that one. He is here.
For a long time we've waited for
the coming of our King. For many years we have served Him, and He gave us a song to sing. Very soon the trump of God will be sounding loud and clear. A shout will announce the good news. Jesus, He's here. He is here. Hallelujah. He is the chosen one. He is here. Shadows and a deliverance has come. He's the hope of every nation. It's the time for celebration. So lift your voice in cheer. He is here. He's the hope of every nation. It's the time for celebration. So lift your voice in cheer. He is here. So lift your voice in cheer. He is here. He is here. He is here.
Amen. Amen. All right. You're some distracted, aren't you, Ryan? You never seen your head look that big, had you? Amen. They just can't get over it all. We went into the gymnasium last night. They said, Dad, we can fit three of our churches in here. And they're right. Amen. Let's do this. Let's do I Love the Old Time Way. The Old Time Way. You know, I like it when there's just liberty. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen. And just liberty to be able to praise the Lord. I like relaxed services, you know. I don't do very well in formal settings, and I don't know if they're watching tonight, but we had a lady in our church, and she was in the hospital and got out early this morning, not in time to go to our church, but she had time to tune in, and of course it's an hour earlier there, and they had us over to eat on Tuesday night before we came over on Thursday, and she, I was teasing her because she's such a sweet girl, and she's very proper. And she married the most improper man you'd ever meet in your life. And we were teasing and we were telling the boys, let's pretend when we go to Mrs. Hiltz's that it's a banquet. Because we're going to be at a banquet on Saturday night. We're not banquety people. And so we were all using our manners, and she taught the boys how to do this and do that. And we had a great old time with it. But we just, you know, we're just laid back. And folks, if you just, like you said, put your watch away, just enjoy yourself tonight. And they're going to be distracted because we're not used to all that. But, you know, we have a song to sing. And if you got the joy of the Lord in your heart, just shout it out. Amen. You'll put us right at home. We'll sing better if you just go ahead and say amen. And I know Foreman probably hasn't had said amen in a long, long time. So you text me every once in a while. I love hearing from the folks up here, and just it's a blessing. And but I still love the old time way. It is the best way. Amen.
Some folks will shout, some testify, some will get stirred up, raise their hands with a smile. Good godly worship is still fit today. I love the old time way, where the preacher still preach and the singer still sing. The clock on the wall does not mean a thing. The old fashioned altar, that's where we pray. Fire and stood every test. Holy Ghost power we still need today. I love the old time way, where the preacher still preaches and the singer still sings. The clock on the wall does not mean a thing. The old fashioned altar, that's where.
singers still sing. The clock on the wall does not mean a thing. The old-fashioned altar, that's where we pray.
The old-time way still gets it done. Amen. I love reading about those old revivals. Man, those men of God, they just stand up there and preach the word. Actually, Jonathan Edwards, when he preached that great message, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, he read it from what I heard. And man, people would fall on their knees. God help. That's the old-time way. It's called the power of God. Amen. And it still gets the job done. Amen. Let's sing I'm Gonna Rise. This is a fun little song. And one day, if you're saved here tonight, we're going, amen? We're going. And I'm looking forward to that day. Boy, the harder the days get, the greater anticipation for His coming, amen? And He's coming soon. I really do believe it. Amen. Let the boys sit down for a minute. We had a couple special requests, and so we'll do a couple of those right now. And you know, I never get upset by people asking for songs that they like, because they obviously mean something to them. And I don't know about you, but boy, I love it when the right song comes at the right time. Amen. So let's do The Potter Knows the Clay. Leanne does that one. It's been a long time since we did it, but we'll give it our best shot. Amen. People around our neck of the woods, they get bored of our singing. We have people ask, how come you don't sing at your meeting? I said, people are sick of hearing us sing. And but anyways, this is one that it is a blessing. And it's good to know that God knows how far we can go and how much we can take. Amen.
You're counting days of pain.
Amen. This is another request song that kind of goes along, I guess, with the message that was preached this morning. And it's probably one of the preachingest songs that I know. It's just simply called Egypt. But you know, Egypt in the Bible is a type of the world. And if we're not careful, those I talked about this morning, those sins that easily beset us. And folks, we have to guard against that. There's so many ways. We talk about the devices of the devil. There's so many ways that he's found to infiltrate not only our homes, but, you know, and what it does, it steals hearts. And we get so entangled with the things of this world. And I like about that old boy over in one of Paul's epistles, I can't remember, it says his house was joined hard to the temple. And that's the way I want it to be. Man, if you keep enough of God in there, there's no room for the world. And so thank God he set us free. Amen. We need to stay free. He who the Son has set free is free indeed.
Seems like we're so far apart. Even though some may applaud me, you alone can see my heart. And you don't look at my achievements or my ability. All you really want is all of me. Though it frightens me to give up my control, there is only room for one king in the throne room of my soul. Lord, you took me out of Egypt, now take Egypt out of me. You delivered me from Pharaoh, now set me free from me. Let my heart become a promised land where the desert used to be. Lord, you took me out of Egypt. Now take Egypt out of me.
You know, I don't think it's... I don't think it'd be out of place, and I don't think the pastor would mind. You know, we struggle in our homes, you know, our families, to keep the world out and keep our children stirred up about the Lord. And a lot of times it just seems like a losing battle. And I don't know, you know, I'm not trying to make something out of nothing here, but, you know, maybe there's some young people in your church, maybe there's someone you know that they're just having a struggle with that whole thing of just keeping Egypt out. Maybe you just want to come and pray for them. And there's the altar's always open. It's what it's for. And we need to call out to God for our children, for our young people. Lord, to keep them protected from that world. God, would you watch over them? It's good for them to see. We care. We care about them. We care about our young people. We love them so much. We want to see God do something with their lives. And I know the pressures that they face. I know the things that are out there that would allure them in this world. But I'm telling you, there's no satisfaction in it. In the drugs and alcohol and immorality that's so prevalent in the world today, there's no satisfaction in that, young people. If you're a young person today, maybe you're struggling, maybe you're finding it difficult, all you need to do is come, call out to God. He'll give you the strength that you need. What a blessing it'd be to see a young person walk the aisle tonight and say, God, would you help me? Would you help me to be a testimony? Would you help me to keep you as the king of my life? And to keep Egypt out. Boy, we need some brokenness for one another. We need God to move in our midst and get a hold of our young people. Get a hold of our middle-aged and seniors just for the power of God to move in. And when the power of God is present, the world, there's no place for them. The second verse, I hope that the world has not stolen this from you. But, you know, even if it has, thank God there's forgiveness. He said if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise the Lord for that.
Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see the Lord. But the eyes that only look to earth, they will lose their rich reward. Of the fellowship eternal, the blissful unity of the ones who live in Jesus and no longer serve King me. Lord, you took me out of Egypt, now take Egypt out of me. You delivered me from Pharaoh, now set me free from me. Let my heart become a promised land where the desert used to be. Lord, you took me out of Egypt, now take Egypt out of me. Lord, I love the gifts you've given, but I love the giver more. And to worship you more perfectly is what those gifts are for. Lord, you took me out of Egypt, now take Egypt out of me. You delivered me from Pharaoh, now set me free from me. Let my heart become a promised land where the desert used to be. Lord, you took me out of Egypt, now take Egypt out of me. Lord, you took me out of Egypt, now take Egypt out of me.
I want Ryland to come and sing this song, and this is his ladies' cry one. But you know, the best part about this is sometimes young people, they think that we don't care, and you know, it really bothers me when I think back on my childhood, and especially my teenage years, and sometimes how I treated my mom and dad, especially my dad, really. You know, Dad and I love him. And, but there was times when I didn't treat him right. And my dad did nothing but love me, care for me, take care of us, provided so well for us. But Dad wasn't cool, or I didn't think he was cool. But one thing that impacted me more than anything else was one night I walked by my parents' bedroom and it was late and I heard my mom crying and I heard her mention my name and she was praying for me. And boy, I remember thinking, above all other things, I did not want to disappoint my mom. And just to hear her as she prayed and she was crying out to the Lord and saying, Lord, please help my son. Protect him from this world, the things of this world. And you know, one thing my parents realized is that every step they took, we were following them. And that's what this song talks about. It asks the question, Daddy, where are you going? What are you doing? And every step we take and every move we make, our children are watching. And our children, our young people, they're watching what the adults do. And I always tell our seniors it's such a blessing to have a good complement of seniors in a church. And I always tell them, you know, you might not have the strength to do what you used to do, but you can be the greatest cheerleaders. And we have a couple, and one of them's my aunt back in our church, and she's getting up in her 70s. She'd be scared to death that I said that, but and she's just such a blessing. You know, we were singing the other Sunday morning, and all by herself, you could just see a tear start to come down the side of her cheek, and she just stood up in the middle of our little bitty congregation that you could fit in that one section of seating, and she just raised her hands up with tears streaming down her face, and man, it just blessed me, and for children and young people to see that and watch her love God. And this really is a thought-provoking song for us adults. Where are you going? What are we doing with it? Let's not get so caught up and busy in the things of this world that we forget the things that are truly important. Let's sing this song, Rye. You ready?
Take you to the place where every burden was lifted, every sin washed away. But as time passes by, Lord, if ever I fail to remember the price that you paid, remind me of the thorns you wore as a crown, the stripes that
brother, a couple more. I don't know what time we got started here, so we'll go as long as you want us to. Let's do Lord, I'm Thankful. Amen. I understand that, you know, every church, every individual, we go through different seasons of life. The Bible says, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, it's time and seasons, you know, everything under the sun. And sometimes it's hurting seasons, sometimes it's joyful seasons, but God's always faithful in every season. Amen? And I'm thankful for that. Lord, I'm thankful.
Lately I've been through some testing and trials. Felt like a detour that went on for miles. Standing here now looking back, I can say, Lord, I'm thankful. Some storms I thought I would never survive, but here I am feeling
so strong and alive. The darkness is past and the morning is bright, and I'm thankful.
Yes, sir. Sure. Can we do two? I don't want to miss one request. All right. Let's do, boys, you sit down for a minute and we'll do this one first. A brother came and asked me to sing this one and I don't want to miss it if it's meaningful to somebody. So we'll get that done and then we'll finish with that one. I love that song. Amen. Let's do that True to the Call song, Mom.
I saw him out on the first day of August. It was 1973. A little boy playing on a hot summer morning. I saw him, but he didn't see me. He and his friends were playing church that day, singing songs they learned in Sunday school. Johnny was standing at a cardboard pulpit, preaching a sermon on the golden rule. And I know he was thinking, this is what I want to do. Years had flown by, and the Lord had saved Johnny. I guess he was just 16.
first heard the calling in a summer revival. I saw him, but he didn't see me. He reached the altar while the preacher prayed, and I saw his tears begin to fall. He prayed in a whisper, "Lord, I'll go if you want me." The people were singing, "I surrender all." And I know he was thinking, "I have to be true to the John always carried that King James Bible, and he witnessed to the great and the small. If he thought about quitting, no one ever knew. He was always true to the call. John had gone home. He preached till his last days the only true gospel, the dream of that boy long ago. He fought a good fight and he had kept the faith, never compromising through it all. He always remembered what he learned in his childhood, just as Timothy once heard from Paul. And I know he was thinking, "Thanks be to God for the call." And he preached through the good times and bad times, wherever God led he would go. And he more than they'd ever know. Brother John always carried his King James Bible, and he witnessed to the great and the small. And if he thought about quitting, no one ever knew. He was always true to the call. If he thought about quitting, no one ever knew. He was always true to the call.
Amen. I appreciate the pastor asking us to sing the song again, because right now it's my favorite, amen? And I sure do thank God that he's in the middle of it all, amen?
It had been 3 days. His parents couldn't find him, but the scribes and the Pharisees were all gathered round him. As a boy in the temple, speaking with such wisdom, they were all amazed at what he said. And in the middle of it all, there was Jesus, the one crying in the wilderness. John the Baptizer spoke of one who was to come, baptizing with fire. When John baptized him, the heavens were opened, and God descended like a dove. And in the middle of it all, there was Jesus.
Services I've ever been in already, and the preaching hasn't even started yet. And I hope you haven't been looking at your watch. I was sitting in the chair thinking, what else could I do that'd be better than this right now? You know, we can waste so much time with TV and all those. Where could we be better than this tonight? I've enjoyed it, and I hope you have. And somebody said to me one time, they were complaining. They said, boy, that service was long. I said, I didn't know you were chained to your pew. The doors aren't locked. Nobody made you be here. You can leave any time. And so, but you wouldn't want to miss this, would you? And so I hope you've enjoyed it, and we're going to have a great time. I could sit all night and listen to this. I love music, always have. And so I hope it's been a blessing. I'm going to change the hymn, guys. We're going to sing Have Thine Own Way. I think we need to be prepared to hear the preaching now. I think he could have had the invitation about a half hour ago, and I would have been ready. But we're going to get, it's just going to get better now. So, Have Thine Own Way, number 485. Let's stand to our feet. I don't know if they have it up or not, so use your hymn books just in case. 485, Have Thine Own Way. Make this your prayer before our preacher comes tonight.
Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have Thine Own Way. Thank you.
may be seated. So the Lord comes tonight.
I'm going to sneak out and do something very quickly, and Brother Lake has not asked me to do this. I was asking him how they're doing, and their church has been growing. We thank the Lord for that. Started a few years ago, only had about 12 people. Now you have about 40, and church is growing, and God is blessing. And we had a great time when we were there. And you folks remember Alfred and Sharon Norton. They drove over to be with us that night, and Mrs. Cuthill was there, and we had a good time with them. And I'm telling you, if they only had 30 people there, the singing, everybody sings like they do in that church. They all sing out. And we just had a great time in that church, and God is blessing them. But I wanted to make sure, you know, he's my friend, and I think he's a friend of this church, too, not just me. And I asked him, how are you doing? And he told me that, you know, we're doing fine. The Lord's taking care of us. And I just flat out asked him, you say, well, that's a little bold or nosy, but I just flat out asked him, I said, what are they paying you at the church? And I'm just going to be honest with you. He told me, he says, I get paid about $400 a week. You folks couldn't live off that. And he's living by faith. Their family's living by faith. You got to put food on the table for those little boys. How many of you know those little boys are going to grow and they're going to eat even more? Amen? And the suits get bigger. And Owen can eat now. And Eric, every 2 hours, is hungry. And so I'm going to put out the little box out in the hallway. And if you're able to be a blessing to them, you say, I didn't come prepared tonight. You can stop by the office tomorrow. They're not leaving till Tuesday morning. If you would like to do something for the Lake family, you can just stop by and see Cindy, and we'll leave the little blue brown box in her office, and you can drop it in. She won't have to know what it is. Or let me say this. If you just want to write a note of encouragement, you say, I can't afford something, but I can be a blessing. Write them a little note of encouragement, put it in that box, and let's be a blessing to the Lake family. They've been a huge blessing to me. They've helped me this weekend, and I want to be a blessing to them. So would you do that? I'm going to sneak out right now and put the box out, and then I will come right back in. I don't want to miss a minute of the preaching. Brother Lake, we love you. We thank you for, we love your whole family. And they're easy to love, though, amen? And you're a little bit tougher, but amen, we love you.
I hate those loaded questions. I just want to say, I have no complaints. I don't suffer for Jesus. I've never suffered for Jesus a day in my life. Every day that we get to serve Him is such a privilege. And I can't thank you enough for all your generosity. And I told your pastor, and I probably don't need to explain this, but I want to. Our church takes such good care of us. And I have no complaints. They are the best people in the world, and I'm so thankful for them. And there's not a wealthy person in the middle of them. There's not one. They're just people that love God and love their pastor, and I love them very much. And I want to thank you all for just being so kind and so generous to us. And Nova Scotia is such a mission field. We have churches there that have no pastor, and I've put the word out all over the place, and there's just no young men looking to pastor any churches anymore. And we've been trying to help and traveling, you know, 2 and 3 hours trying to help these churches with no pastors. And when I get back, I'll be home for a Wednesday and then leave again on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday to go with my brother-in-law down to a church we're trying to help that needs a preacher. And those people are so excited about God and so excited about what God's doing. And they were just about to close their doors. They had about 5 people left from the early days. And the man that was kind of just running things out of necessity, He went to the congregation. He said, let's go home and pray. And he said, if God doesn't do anything for us, then he said, we're going to close the doors. Next Sunday will be our last service. And there's a gal there in the church that, you know, she's a single mom raising her son there. And Chance, he grew up and in that church. And she went home and she started praying, and God broke her heart. And she said, man, I don't want to close the doors of this church. And She asked God to show her something. The Lord took her over to there to Zechariah chapter 1 where, you know, the Lord's speaking to the prophet and he says, you know, do you remember Israel in her former glory? And she said, Lord, I remember that. I remember how it used to be. And we used to shout and have a good time and people enjoyed church and serving the Lord. And it was new people were coming and souls were being saved. And then, the verse goes on and says, you know, you see how it is now. And she says, oh, I see how it is now. And the next verse, as she read it, I can't recall it by memory, but it just along the lines of fear not. Don't quit. Don't give up. I'm going to restore that former glory. And she went back to the church on that Sunday. And it doesn't really matter to me what you think about it. She got up there in church and she said, I just got to say something. And she shared that testimony. And that day they decided, we can't close the doors on this church. And they called my brother-in-law, Leanne's brother Joey, and they said, we need help. And Joey called me and said, they need help. And I said, let's help them. A couple Sundays ago, two or three Sundays ago, they had 47 on Sunday morning. They're looking for a man of God. They're looking for a preacher. And I'm just saying that God has just been so good to me, so good to my family. We have no complaints. And we thank you for praying for us. I know that you do because we receive text messages and sometimes phone calls from folks. And you've always been so kind to us. And we appreciate your thoughtfulness. And listen, we don't fit into any group. We're just people trying to serve the Lord. And so we really do appreciate your help and all your support. And I just want to make very plain, because I know this is on sermon audio, that I love the people that God has given me there in Bridgetown. And we have seen the Lord do some amazing things. And sure enough, just shortly after pastoring there, within 2 years, we got whittled all the way down to about 12, 13 people. But I told the folks, and it never even crossed my mind to quit. I don't like to quit. And some people say I should quit playing hockey, but I just won't quit. Don't know when to quit. And together, God has brought a group of people together there that just love the Lord. And last year, we had our Faith Promise missions grow by $10,000 in 1 year. We only have 40 people. 40 is being very generous, and half, at least half of those are children. And, the Lord has allowed us to help over in the Philippines. We've been over there. I went over last year. I'm taking two of the men from our church this year along with some others. Leanne's brother Joey's going with us. We raised $5,000 to send Bibles and buy a church camp property over there in the Philippines. And just last year, we host an annual camp meeting there at our church, a summer old-fashioned. We would love for people from Bethel Baptist to come to camp meeting. And we'll feed you 3 meals a day, and we'll just take care of you in all kinds of ways. You've been so good to us. And a couple years ago, the tent that we used to have our camp meeting in, a hurricane came through before we could get it taken down and tore it to pieces. And we didn't know what to do. And a pastor friend of mine got up at the meeting that year, and he said, I just believe that God wants us to build a building to hold this meeting in. And so by God's grace and for His glory, we built a 52-by-60 barn that we have our camp meeting in, and it's just old-fashioned, sin-hating, devil-chasing, Southern gospel music camp meeting. And maybe I shouldn't have said that right there, but we even get bluegrass pickers in there sometimes. Amen. And, boy, if you never heard I'll Fly Away played on a banjo, you hadn't lived yet. So now the secret's out. We're hillbillies down there. But thank you so much for your kindness. And I want to preach just for a few minutes, and I promise it won't keep you long. It's what Elizabeth Taylor told her last husband, and I promise I'll not keep you too long. Tonight, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 with me, if you would, and God
sent me a curveball here just right before the service. I want to be an encouragement to your church. You've been an encouragement to us. And I want to be an encouragement to you. And when I was a kid growing up in our church there, my grandfather, his office was on the back left-hand side of the church. And whenever you walked in there, he wasn't fancy. He didn't care about the how it looked and all that. But he had a nice old office. But as you went in the door, there was a little bitty, it wasn't even a 4x6 card. It was about the size of a business card on his door. And it had two words. Don't quit. Don't quit. And I just want to preach to you tonight and hope to encourage you on this very simple thought. Don't give up. Don't give up. Amen. Don't give up. Look at the Bible here. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 16, "For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." And listen, I know churches go through hard times, families go through hard times, brother. But it seems that all sometimes everything's just going wrong. It seems like the outward man is perishing, losing jobs, and just going through all kinds of hardship. But as long as that inward man stays renewed, you'll never quit. You'll never give up. He says, for our light affliction, and folks, really, it's light in view of eternity, the difficulties that we face and the hardships that we face, it's light affliction. If Paul can call shipwrecks and imprisonments and beatings and whippings light affliction, then what we're going through, folks, listen, I'm not minimizing it, but it is light in comparison to what the Lord Jesus Christ suffered for us on Calvary. It's light affliction. Light affliction. He says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Man, I remember going through some things. Boy, it just about knocked me off the apple cart at the time. And a few years later, God just takes all the pain of it away. God just removes all the bitterness from it. You know, it's just for a moment. He says, worketh for us a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray that whatever said here tonight would be an encouragement to your people. Don't give up. Lord, what you started here, Father, I pray there's not one person that would give up. Not give up on this preacher. Not give up on this church. Lord, not give up on the work of God. Lord, help us to just keep marching on until you come and call us home. Lord, the finish line is just in sight. Heaven's not too far away. I believe that with all my heart. Lord, keep us faithful until the day when you call us home. And I ask for it in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Just to give you a few quick little things here this morning. I think about people in the Bible that did not quit. Praise God, Noah did not quit when no one would listen to his preaching. He prophesied about a coming day of judgment when the rain would fall from heaven, and they mocked him and they laughed at him and they just scorned him. But thanks be to God, he did not quit preaching. The Bible tells us that he was a preacher of righteousness. Thank God Samson did not quit when they put out his eyes. And he prayed one more time to the Lord. He said, Lord, let me be avenged of these eyes. And he pushed on the temple of pillars. And he killed more Philistines in his death than he had in his whole life. Thank God he never quit. Listen, I think about King David. He faced many victories in his life, but so also many defeats. Guilty of two of the most heinous crimes that we could ever think of. Murder and adultery. And yet he prayed to God, Lord, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. And God blessed his life again. And David, what a man after God's own heart. Thank God, even though he got into some sin, and even though he didn't know his bad 1,000, he did not quit. Boy, there's so many people, man, they get to a point in their Christian life, they think they've gone too far. They think they've been in the far country too long. And boy, they just get down on themselves. And I'm telling you, the Father's still waiting back at the house to welcome you home. Don't quit. Don't quit.
Amen. Thank God for these men in Scripture that did not quit. I just want to give you a few quick reasons this evening why we should not quit. Look at Acts chapter 1 with me, if you would. Acts chapter number 1. Just a few quick things. Why we should not quit. Why we should keep going. Acts chapter 1, look down there in verse number 26. Oh, that is absolutely not correct right there. Well, let me just go ahead and give you the point. The point of this thing is, number one, we should not quit because the distinction of our faith rests upon us not quitting. You know, we have a rich heritage as Baptists and an even richer heritage as Bible believers. We cannot afford to lay down the torch. We cannot afford to lay down the Word of God. We cannot allow ourselves to forsake the things that God has used all down through time, the preaching of His Word and the like and the praising of the saints. Folks, don't quit, don't quit, don't quit! Don't quit! Or the devil, he'll try and steal your song. He'll try and defeat you. He'll try and bring you down. But listen, the only thing that separates us from all those is that we've got a faith that looks up to Thee, O Lamb of God. Amen. I mean, we've got the greatest thing going here on this earth. The distinction of our faith rests upon You not quitting. There's fewer and fewer churches like this. There's fewer and fewer churches where God moves and the Spirit of God is working with great power. And folks, if we quit, what will be left? Don't quit. Don't quit. Listen, there's no age of retirement. I talk about him a lot. I looked at my grandfather. The man died at 66 years old of colon cancer. The last thing he did before he went in the hospital was preach. You know, I wear these things so that I can use that illustration that says, I want to die with my boots on. I want to die with my boots on. I don't want to stand before God and say, Son, how come you quit? It was so close. How come you quit? I was counting on you to raise the banner and hold the standard for the next generation. I want to just encourage you tonight, don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Amen. Don't quit. Don't quit. The distinction of our faith rests upon it. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Look down in verse 19. The Bible says, and when the Lord saw it, He abhorred them because of the provoking of His sons and of His daughters. And He said, I will hide My face from them. I will see what their end shall be. For they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. We should not quit because the direction of our children's future depends upon it. We can't quit. We can't lay down the sword. We can't stop holding up the banner. Why? Our children's future depends on it. I don't want my children that all they have left is Joel Osteen religion. I don't know about you, but I'll tell you one thing. That man has made some money off of lying. Every day is not a Friday. And every day is not a big smile. In fact, in my life, I've had a whole bunch of Mondays. Amen. A whole bunch of sad days. A whole bunch of hard times. And I know some of you have suffered through the same things and you face those trials and those same things. You know he's lying. Every day ain't a Friday. It's not always a bed of roses. Amen. They preach this false hope and this idea that if you'll just, come to God and do all this, that everything will be rosy and you'll always be happy. That's wrong. That's wrong. There is hardship. But listen, we've got to teach our children how to go through difficult times, how to get through it, and how to make it through on the other side. And listen, God doesn't always want to take you out of the hard times. He wants to take you through the hard times. And boy, I've seen some of you and heard testimonies already this week. God's taking you through some hard times, and you're still here, and you're still shouting the victory. I see those hands that are upraised. I can hear the amens, and I know they're coming from people that have been through it. Don't quit. Don't quit. What would it be that would knock you out of the race? A prodigal son? You can't quit for a prodigal son. You can't stop serving God because one of your children isn't serving the Lord. You can't let the standard fall because they don't want to do what's right. Don't quit. Don't quit. You'll never bring them back home if you leave what you've taught them their whole lives. You know, as I look at that story of the prodigal son, that father, he never went into the far country. He never made any provision for that son that walked out of the father's house. But I'll bet you every night before he went to bed, I'll bet you he walked down to the end of that driveway. And I'll bet you he looked down the road to see if that son was coming home. And day after day after day, he was met with disappointment. But he never quit. The next day he'd go back out there and look down that road. One day, one morning, whoo, what a morning it was, brother. What a morning that servant came and he said, I see someone coming down the road and it sure looks like your son. And that father who had stayed faithful, that father who had just kept loving God, he never quit church. He kept reading that Bible. Oh, went down there one more time and looked down that long drive and there it was, his son. And he couldn't help himself. He ran after him and he threw his arms around him and he said, this, my son was dead and he's alive. Again, he was lost and is found. Whew, he said, go kill the fatted calf, get the best robe and put it on him, put the ring on his finger. Thank God he never quit. Hey, listen, young people, if you're going to make a decision to run off there in the world, we're not going to chase you. Best thing you can do is let them suffer the fruit of the world for a season. And come home when they do. You know that son said? He said, I'm no more worthy to be called your son. Just make me as one of your hired servants. And we know how the father responded. You know, people, they go out there into the world. They do wrong. They do the church wrong. They do the man of God wrong. They do families wrong. And they want to come right back into church and act like nothing ever happened. Folks, there's something wrong with that. There's something wrong with that. It's about time we got back to old time repentance and asking forgiveness. And listen, if they want to run there out there in the world and do their thing, don't chase them. One of the greatest principles of church discipline, you know, is letting them go. Why? For the destruction of their flesh. So when they come back, all that they have is the Spirit of God leading them to a place of repentance. And when they do, they can be restored into sweet fellowship. Don't quit. Don't quit holding up the standard. Don't quit being faithful. Listen, I've found that even the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, it says He was wounded where? In the house of His friend. But when he hung on Calvary, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Don't quit. Don't quit. Our children's future depends on it. You'll never help them if you run after them. You just got to let them go. You got to turn them over to the Lord. You got to let the Lord do the work that only He can do. Well, I know your heart. Every mom and dad with a wayward child, oh, they wish they could bring them home. Every night they cry themselves to sleep, not knowing where they are and what they're doing. But boy, I'll tell you, just turn it over to God. Don't quit doing right, even though it's hard. Don't quit. Our children's future depends on it. Don't quit. We can't quit. We just got to keep doing right. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2 and verse 21, I'll read ahead for the sake of time. It says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in His steps." Listen, don't quit. Don't quit. The death of the Savior, His suffering must not be in vain. All that He suffered, all that He went through, all the torture, He did that for you. He did that for me. We can't quit. Don't you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain? It's not in vain in the Lord? Be unmovable. Be unshakable. Boy, I like that this morning, that statement of faith. And Brother McDonald got up there and started reading that. As he started reading it, I could see he was starting to get excited. I like that. Boy, I like that. Why, hey, we have the greatest story to tell. We have the message of hope for the world. We have the message of peace that this world needs so badly. We cannot quit. We cannot stop witnessing. We must not stop being missions minded. We must not stop preaching the gospel. Why? The suffering our Savior must not be in vain. We must not allow it to be in vain. We must remind ourselves daily of the sufferings of the Lord. Don't let it be in vain. Don't quit. He's worthy. He's worthy. Listen, I keep going back to the young people. I still think I'm young. Don't quit. I have no doubt there's some here tonight. You just, quitting's been on your mind. Don't quit. Don't quit on God. You never see any time when that turns out good for somebody. See, once you're saved, you're ruined for this world. You are ruined. You can't go out there and enjoy the things that you think you want to enjoy. The first time you put that bottle to your lips, you're going to be reminded of Proverbs chapter 20 and verse number 1, because you grew up hearing it in Sunday school. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. And you're going to think, what an idiot I am. And I hope it rings loud and clear in your heart. You can't get away from it. If you're saved, you're ruined for the world. Every move you make away from God, the conscience that God gave you will pull at you. Thank God for that. That's the same thing that when I start moving away from the Lord draws me back to Him. Don't quit. Don't quit on God. The death of our Savior, His suffering, it just can't be in vain. Lastly, look at 1 Corinthians 15. 1 I love this verse. It says, "Therefore, verse 58, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Don't quit. Heaven's not far away. Oh, I believe the finish line is in sight. It just drives me crazy. You know, some people, they make light of the coming of the Lord, and you know, they'll make little statements like, "You're as slow as the second coming." Thank God it's been slow. Every day that God waits is a day of grace. He's waiting for whosoever will to come. Thank God. Thank God. Listen, I know that we're to be anticipating. We're to be watching for His coming. We're to be looking towards the eastern sky. I know all those things, but thanks be to God. Listen, I've got loved ones that are lost.
Thank God for every day of grace. I'll suffer through this world a little bit longer for one more day of grace for my loved ones. But I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to quit. You know why? I can almost see the lights of home. I can almost see His face. I can almost see us walking down the streets of gold. I can almost see that great cloud of witnesses, brother, standing there waiting to welcome us home. I can almost see my grandfather. I can almost see him waiting there. Man, I can't wait to see him. He's one of my greatest heroes. And you know, when I get discouraged and when I get down, his picture hangs on the wall in my office there at my house. And I see that thing, and all I can think about him is up there by the throne of Jesus saying, come on, boy, just go a little further. It's not too much longer. Just a little while and you'll be home. Oh, you don't know the day nor the hour when the Son of Man appears. We don't know when He's coming. But all I know one thing. I don't want to be on the sidelines when He comes. Amen. I want to be sprinting that last mile home. Can I say tonight, I don't regret a mile I've traveled for the Lord. There's a lot of footsteps I've made in this life for me. I regret a lot of those. But there's never been a moment lived for Christ that I regret. And I want to spend whatever years God gives me left pressing toward the mark, the prize of the high calling of God. Don't quit. Well, I don't know if you're here tonight and you've just been thinking, I'm tired, I'm worn out, I'm discouraged, I'm disappointed. Don't quit. Heaven can't be far away. Just don't quit. Boy, it'd be awful sad if we ever get to come back. Say, hey, where's brother or sister so-and-so? Oh, well, they quit. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Well, if I was you, I wouldn't quit on this church. It was such a blessing to me to see you honor your pastor and his wife. Well, I sure love to see churches that love their preacher. So important. Man, a lot of the times they just get, you know, everything gets thrown onto them, and you don't even know, you know, sometimes what they're going through. And that's the best part about it. Talking to Brother Rob about the sound and the lights and all that, and boy, that is just woo for me. He said the best thing you can do is for nobody even to notice. Nobody compliments the sound guy because everything was just right and it's a given it's going to be that way. And you know, a lot of times that's the way it is for a pastor, you know. We just want it to go well. We just want things to run smoothly. We're not looking for applause or accolades or any of those things. But don't quit him. Amen. Don't quit the church. Amen. Don't quit having that passion and zeal for God. Don't quit raising that hand to heaven. Don't quit saying amen and praise the Lord. Don't quit coming to an old-fashioned altar. Don't quit preaching from the old black book. Don't quit singing those songs of Zion. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Let's stand together tonight. I don't know if you thought about quitting. I have a time or two, but I won't do it. I won't quit him. I won't quit him. I'd never miss heaven for the world. As the pastor comes, pastor, you come, you give the invitation however you see fit. Listen, if God spoke to your heart tonight, maybe you haven't been thinking about quitting, but you just need to come, say, Lord, help me. Give me the strength to carry on just a little longer. Heaven's just about here. We're almost home, saints of God. Don't quit. Don't quit.
The altar's open even now. If God spoke to your heart, would you move from your place and come and kneel at this old-fashioned altar? The instruments are playing. Would you come? You know, you can be an encouragement to somebody you here tonight has a friend that's confided in them, talking and said, you know what, I think I'm going to quit. You could come pray for them. You could pray for them. God would strengthen them. Maybe there's somebody here tonight that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We'd hate for you to leave this place without having the opportunity to talk to somebody. And we take the Bible. We're not going to take a church covenant or creed or anything else. We'll take God's holy word and show you what it means to have eternal life through Jesus Christ. There's one here that just lift up their hand and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I don't understand, and I'm not sure if I'm saved. I'd be happy to pray. I won't embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. Is there one tonight? Say, Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you pray for me? Amen. Let's sing that first verse together. Some are still praying.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and
second verse, Brother Baker, go ahead and sing it.
Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but a song quickly drives it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sign or a tear can abide while we trust and
be seated. We're going to dismiss right away. Is there any pressing announcements, Pastor McDonald? We will let you know on Wednesday night when the funeral service will be for Garnet Wilson. I know many of you never met Garnet, but you know Jim and Heather, and I know you want to love them and support them. Of course, his wife Madeline's been out to our church, and his sister Julie and her husband Wayne have been out to our church, and so I know you'll want to support them and encourage them at that funeral service or at the visitation. So we will let you know all those details Wednesday night. It also, we'll put it on our church blog as soon as there's an obituary available or an announcement in the newspaper. All right, so we'll do that. I'm going to ask the Lakes to go out in the hallway there. They've got CDs out there if you would like to get some of that. I know I most of you probably have all their CDs, and we understand that. But in case you'd like to pick one up as a Christmas gift or for something else, you may do so. Do you have your sign-up sheet out there, brother? Cindy? Where's Cindy? Would you get a piece of lined paper from your office? If you'd like to sign up, put your name and just put Bethel Baptist Church beside it, and we'll just get them all shipped here so it's postage just one time. Sign up that you would like a CD, and when those come available, we'll figure out how to pay for it all later or whatever. We'll get it straightened out, but we want to get that into your hands as soon as it's available. All right? Do you guys appreciate it? Let's give them a hand if you appreciated them. We're not doing that to glorify them. We're just doing it to thank them. And we give the glory for the Lord. We thank you. Can you imagine a few years when those boys are teenagers singing like that? And man, that's going to be quite a ministry. I thought Ryland was just window dressing. That boy can sing. But he is cute, isn't he? Last night at the dinner, he kept looking at my Emily and he'd go with his eyes. And today, she had, I don't know what was going on, if they were crossing the street or something, but she took his hand and he said, "Look, fellas, I got a girlfriend." He is smooth, that little guy. And so I like those boys. They're good boys. So let's stand and be dismissed with prayer. Brother Broughton, always good to have you. Would you lead us in a word of prayer tonight and close our service?
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the words that you've heard tonight. We ask you, Lord, to open our heart, that we may hear those that are words of gain, and to put them in our heart. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your many blessings, how you suffered and died on the cross for us, that we may be with the countries of you in the future. We ask you, Lord, that them who sometimes do not know what to say, but oh Lord, we do love you, and you, because you first loved us. We ask you, Lord, Father, to guide us, help us not to quit, to keep on, and keep on in your name, and follow your word. Guide and watch over us, and we ask for safety as everyone travel on the road tonight. We ask you, Lord, for your guidance. Be with us in the coming week and give us the words to say and do the things that you want us to do. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Just one quick announcement. There are some church directories out there, brand new church directories, so you can do your Christmas cards if you like. They're on the corner table by the old library, so pick one of those up tonight. We got as many as we could done as quickly as we can. We will have more for Wednesday night, all right? So when they're gone, we will have more for you. And also, don't forget the brown boxes out there if you'd like to be a blessing to the Lake family. God bless you. You are dismissed.